Hey, welcome to session six of Corporate Bootcamp System. I'm Greg Justice here along with DJ Gadur. And today we're going to be covering everything else that we have missed in the last first five sessions today. We're going to bring everything together and kind of also do a recap of all the systems that we have given to you over the first five sessions. So with that being said, we will move forward and start with planning your sales meeting. Now, there is nothing that takes the place of proper planning. And I want to make sure that you all understand that as you go into a sales meeting, that you should be 100% prepared to make your case. You should also know your prospect, know everything about their business that you can. You also want to know about the person with whom you're meeting. You want to know that HR director or the one of the senior level managers, again, that you're meeting. You want to make sure that you are professional at all times. That includes being on time, being prepared with your presentation, and certainly dressing appropriately. And we talked a little bit about that in one of the previous sessions. But again, you want to make sure you go in with the ultimate confidence. You want to make sure that you, you know, the old saying about you only get one chance to make a good first impression. And oftentimes, when you go to those meetings, perhaps you've gotten them set up from a phone conversation, but this is maybe the first time that you're going to actually be face-to-face with that HR director or the senior level manager. So again, you've got that one chance to make a wonderful first impression. I don't want you to blow it. Make sure that you are professional and go out of that gym fitness mentality and into the corporate mentality. Talk their talk, dress their dress, and make sure that you are the consummate professional. Now, conducting your sales meeting. This starts with the sales process. Now, during your face-to-face meeting with the CEO or the HR director or whoever the qualified decision maker you're talking to, you want to make sure that you have your professionally printed and bound self-presentation kit on the table in front of them. It's also important to remember to maintain control, take deep breaths, make sure that you're calm and that you enunciate and that you don't go too fast. I don't want you to read your presentation. Again, remember, it's going to be upside down because it's facing them. So it's kind of hard to read upside down anyway. But make sure you know that presentation like the back of your hand. And then as you're flipping from page to page, you can just summarize each of those pages. Now, I'm going to go over several steps here that you must take during the sales meeting for it to become an actual sales contract, all right? First of all, it starts with building rapport with the person you're talking to, all right? It's important to find some or discover some kind of common ground. You want to be able to build trust, professionalism, credibility. Now, perhaps you both have the same hobby or you know the same people, or maybe you went to the same high school or college. As you go in, kind of assess the situation, look around the office. Maybe look at the magazines they read, or you know, it's just important to know something about that person that you're talking to. Let me give you a quick example of that. One sales presentation that I went into, as I walked into the office, I noticed a trophy behind the counter from the Kansas City Corporate Challenge. Now, the Kansas City Corporate Challenge is probably the nation's top corporate Olympic Games. I mean, it has been around for over 25 or 30 years. It's a well-established, well-run organization. And I used to be on the board of directors in the mid to late 80s, and there was also a games director. So I was heavily involved in that organization, the Kansas City Corporate Challenge. And it gave me the opportunity to, again, work with so many different corporations in this local area. Well, I knew that there was going to be an immediate connection with this company because they had participated. They were proudly displaying this trophy from an event that they had won from a recent corporate games. So it gave me that immediate connection with them to discuss their participation. I was able to kind of dig in deeper and find out how many events they had participated in. And, I got to dialogue with them about something that they had great passion about and certainly something that I had a great passion for since I was so heavily involved in that organization in its early days. So, again, it's important to build that rapport and find a connection, that common bond that you can have with them. Now, secondly, you want to remember to let them talk about their business. Remember, the more you learn about their needs and the way they do business, the better your outcome is going to be. Now, thirdly, you want to show them why corporate fitness makes good business sense for their business. You want to move from those generalities to specifics that address their individual business. Moving on, fourthly, you want to briefly show them your credentials. Now, they simply want to know that you're qualified and can help them achieve their goals. I don't want you to spend a lot of time on yourself, but definitely show them your credentials and that you are a qualified person to provide them these services and products that you're showing them. At number five, you want to show them testimonials. You want to be able to show direct correlation between what your clients have experienced and what they need. Number six, you want to discuss their investment in their own corporate fitness program. The action that leads to a higher return on investment is what we're talking about here, and that's the investment part. Number seven, you want to tour their company. You want to be able to find some ideal locations for your workouts, especially if they don't have a fitness facility. Make note of or point out some other key elements that you notice. Perhaps you notice a lot of cubicles where their employees sit for 8 hours a day, or maybe it's the concrete floors that jar a body in constant repetitive motion in the factory. Make sure you make note of that and point that out and how your program can actually help with these particular types of employees. Number eight, you want to show him or her scheduling. You want to talk about the scheduling and discuss how your program can easily be adapted to their needs. Remember, it's about them. It's about their company and making sure that you can accommodate their time and all of their individual needs from their employees, whether they be folks that sit behind the computer desk all day with rounded shoulders or in the factory, those repetitive type motions that they do, that you can actually work within those parameters and make sure that you can accomplish the goals for those individual needs that they have. Now, and finally, you want to remember to close. Close early and close often. You got to remember, this is your number one objective. So don't be afraid to go for that close and do it more than one time throughout this process. Now, what do you take with you when you go to the corporation? Well, this is what I take. We briefly talked about this in a previous session, but we'll go into a little bit more detail about specifically what these items are. Now, on the far left of the screen, you're going to see a co-branded nutrition manual. And what this is a system that we went over with you in a previous session. It includes a book titled 90 Days to a New You. It has 3 full months of meal plans. And it also has a wonderful recipe book. Now, again, remember, this isn't something that you're going to leave with them. This is just something that you're going to show them and make sure they understand that they will all have access to through that zip file that we had discussed in a previous session as well. All this is done on a zip file that I have it printed out, and I suggest that you do the same thing. Co-brand it, take it with you, and again, show them that entire nutrition system that you're going to be offering to all of their employees. Secondly, right next to that nutrition manual, you're going to see an Ultimate Tabata Body Weight Cardio Program book. And this is a completely customized interval training program using body weight cardio exercises, and it's created by BJ Gadur. It's a wonderful resource for them to use on their days off. It uses absolutely no equipment. So, again, it takes the excuses out of them not having access to a gym. And again, this is also on a zip file as well, so you're not going to leave that with the HR director. Now, right next to that is the Ultimate Tabata's Boot Camp Manual. And what this is, again, it's a wonderful resource provided by BJ Gadur, and it is a catalog of boot camp style Tabata interval workout templates. It just shows them your professionalism and shows them that you've got this plan already mapped out. And again, this isn't something that you leave with them, but you just show them that you have this system in place, mapped out with all these templates, and that you're ready to rock when they give you the green light to go for it. Now, the thing on the manual on the far right that you see is the corporate workout wellness presentation. And this is what you actually are going to leave with them. It is your actual presentation. And you're going to go through that page by page with them. And again, summarizing each page. I don't want you to read each page, but summarizing what each page is about and giving them a brief synopsis of each page. But that right in front of you is exactly what I take into a sales presentation. You don't want to overwhelm them. You don't want to leave them with 400 items. It just, again, just overwhelms the whole process. But you do want to show them that you are prepared, you are professional, and that you are ready to rock. Now, what do you do after your sales meeting? I always like to sit back and have a little quiet time in my office and self-evaluate. The key to that is that you can take notes on the things that went well and, equally as important, the things that didn't go so well. It's good, again, to be self-critical and, again, those things that went well, you know, pat yourself on the back for it. Take notes. And with each successive meeting, it gets better. More good things come out of the meeting than bad. And you start to eliminate the negative and accentuate the positive. So definitely take notes after each of those meetings. And then you'll really start to develop a smoother, even more systematic process as you go forward. Now, again, you know, we have provided you with that system of the sales presentation, but it does take some time to get it down to where you're 100% comfortable with it. That's why I always want to make sure that you practice it in front of a mirror. Do it out loud. Don't just read it to yourself. It's important to hear yourself go through the process. And then at the end of it, even in the practice sessions, take notes. And going forward, make sure that you accentuate the positive and start to eliminate the negative, all right? Let's talk about some of the key strategies. Educate and inform. Make sure that they know what they're facing and that you have the solution for their challenges. Show them how that you become part of the problem-solving team. Because going forward, you want to become more than just that boot camp provider. Now, as we start, that's what this is about. It's getting you in, getting those boot camps up and going. But we're also laying the foundation for you to become a bigger part of their problem-solving team to give them, you know, more productive, healthier, happier employees. You want to make sure you ask questions to confirm their needs. Sample and show. Maybe you're demonstrating a squat relative to sitting and rising from a chair. Demo a push-up from the desk or table, things like that. You want to ask questions that seek their questions. Know what they don't know and then address it. You want to ask questions to assess their true needs. Help by participating. Offer your services to help keep their program on track. Let them know that you are going to keep track of participation, that you will give them an updated on a quarterly basis is what we like to do. A quarterly basis, we like to give them reports on who has participated to make sure that the company is getting their money's worth. If they're going to, especially if the company's paying for the program, they want to make sure that their employees are participating, because if they're not, then they can't get the results that we know that we can give them. You also want to ask questions to keep the process moving. Throughout this process, you want to make sure that you get a bunch of yeses before you move on to the next part. You got to remember that the more they say yes and feel positive, the more they're seeing the benefits of the product and the service that you're offering. You also want to help. You also want to ask questions that are going to help you close the sale. Follow up, and then when you follow up, remember to follow up some more. Now, if you've qualified them and you know their needs, you will know how to be appropriate with the time frames and methods following up. Now, if you haven't qualified them, you know, then your follow-up may be perceived as kind of negative. So make sure that you qualify them as this process is going forward. All right, wellness committees and teams. Now, in a large, or in some of the larger companies, the HR director often oversees the entire wellness program and assigns responsibilities in different areas to other employees. The HR director will probably be the one who oversees like the health risk assessments and health screenings, things like that. They may assign an employee who works on the company newsletter to do a monthly article on health and wellness. Here's where you come in. Now, you can help provide information for that person to make their job a heck of a lot easier. Now, another person may be in charge of education activities like the lunch and learns and the grocery store tours, or maybe even the health fairs. And again, you have the resources and the skills to help that person be very effective, and it makes their job easier too. Remember, the more valuable you are to them, the more they're going to call on you, and the more valuable you become to the whole whole company. They also are more likely to recommend you to other HR directors or CEOs. Again, you know, they hang in those same cliques. So the more valuable you are to them, the more likely they are to recommend you to others. Now, you have a health promotions checklist in your action tracking guide, along with your sales presentation. This is a very useful tool for thought starting and is a checklist for those who have some aspects of wellness already introduced. A mission statement by the company to help define their wellness program should be posted and given to each employee. This is very important. I don't want you to forget this part of it, that mission statement. What it does, it just sets a direction. And when it's signed or endorsed by the upper management, it sends a very clear signal to the employees. Encourage your clients to develop that mission statement that really defines their corporate wellness program going forward. It is a critical component, and I don't want you to leave that out of it. I also want you to know who your contacts are for each area of wellness at your client company. Make sure they too are taking advantage of your fitness and nutrition services. Ask them regularly, what can I do for you? Build those relationships with the individuals that are running the corporate newsletters or the ones that are putting on the lunch and learn. You never know when they may leave and take another job at a company that currently doesn't have a wellness program. And I can tell you from personal experience, over the last 3 months, this has happened to me on two separate occasions. Where one gentleman left the company and less than a month or two later, I got a call from their HR director telling me that he had gone to this HR director and was an advocate for what we were doing. And it gave me, they were calling on me instead of me having to call on them. Another example, one of our corporate boot campers has a wife who's an HR director at another company. He loves what we're doing. He told his wife about it. And again, an HR director at a company I'd never even heard of was calling on me. So, those are just two examples over the last 3 months in my business of what I'm talking about right here. You also want to make sure that you go over each of these components with these individuals that are, again, running the HR director or the person that is running the corporate newsletter or putting on the lunch and learns. You want to make sure that you give them all the benefits of what you do and that, make sure they understand your nutrition program, that they understand your workout program, and that they are actually participating. So really get to know them and you'll build a real strong wellness team. And sometimes at the beginning of your boot camp, when these wellness programs are not clearly defined and not up and running as effectively as they need to be, you will become a very strong force in putting together that wellness team at the corporations. You'll see the leaders rise to the top, and you'll be able to form a wellness committee at that corporation that is just second to none. Promoting the program to the employees. Now, written communication should be sent from upper management announcing and endorsing the concept of wellness, exercise, nutrition, creating awareness, cost control, etc. This is your first step. Now, sometimes I know this doesn't happen because if you're going through the HR director, it may take you a little bit longer to get the commitment from the higher level. And I don't want to tell you not to start a boot camp if you don't have that upper management support, but I will tell you it's a heck of a lot easier if you do, and if you have that written communication from the senior level managers, because again, as I said a little bit earlier, it really sets a tone, and it's a clear sign that they are committed to this if they actually have written communication to their employees. Being 100% in support of what you're doing. Now, after employees have responded to like a health interest survey and a health fair, that clinical testing has been done, this is the ideal time to introduce your exercise boot camps and the nutrition components. Again, I'm not telling you this is always the way it is. I'm telling you this is ideally the way it is. Now, if they're not willing to put on a health fair or go through those first steps, I'm not telling you not to introduce your boot camp. I'm just telling you that you've got a more of an uphill battle. So If you can take care of the step one, two, three, and four, it makes what you're doing with the corporate boot camp and the nutrition component a heck of a lot easier. What you want to do at this point when you're getting ready to introduce the exercise boot camp and nutrition components, ideally what you want to do is to announce the date, the time and location of the orientation, and the procedure, possibly a split shift with half of each department attending alternately, because again, you can't have 100% of the employees coming at the same time because the business still has to go on. Now, this communication, it can be in maybe like a flyer that they insert into paychecks, unless they do a direct deposit. Or it can be posted in the company newsletter and distributed to each department to share with all the employees. But again, you've got to make sure that the access, that you're able to get all the employees to introduce your program and let them know when it's going to begin and when you're going to have the orientation and all of that good stuff. Now, what should the orientation session cover? Well, there should be a description of the program, the benefits of the program. It should talk about the need for baseline measurement, the need for goals. You should talk about what they can expect, when and where the sessions are going to be run, what to tell the trainer in the event of illness, injury, etc. Also, a quarterly lunch and learn session will help create more awareness and motivation for making healthy choices. So every step of the way, you want to make sure you promote employee wellness and your overall program, because the corporate boot camp is just one component in the overall, the big picture of corporate wellness. Certainly, this is the component that you all are the experts in, but that's why we want to make sure you have all the other components, all these other systems at your beck and call and ready to incorporate into the big picture. I want you to remember that when you do communicate with your corporate boot campers and the HR directors and anyone at the corporation, I want you to make sure that you keep all of the communications upbeat and reinforce the benefits they're going to receive by participating in your program. You want to even name the benefits. Tell them that you're going to tell them that they're going to sleep sounder at night, that they're going to be more productive, and they're going to feel better late in the afternoon on a Friday because of the fact that they participated in this wellness program. They're going to be healthier and more alert, more vibrant, and as a result of that, more productive. The bottom line here, the key is to work with your client and their business procedures to ensure that constant communication of the program is achieved. Some employees are going to be exposed to multiple invitations to participate over a period of months, maybe even years, before they actually make the commitment to participate in the program. That's okay. Just keep getting out there in front of them. Keep being positive with your program, and eventually little seeds will be planted, or you're planting seeds with every step of the way. Eventually those seeds will start to produce, and you'll see more and more of the employees start to participate in the boot camps. And I can give you a classic example of one of our boot camps in our beta program that we started about 2 years ago. We have more than doubled in the numbers of employees that started at about 20 employees, and now 2 years later, a lot of times programs start to stagnate. But again, we're about to wrap up two complete years in this site, and we have more than doubled the number of participants from 20 to over 40, and it's still growing, again, because of that continually being in front of their entire workforce, and the employees loving what we're doing, and their coworkers seeing a difference in those individuals that are participating, and it just creates an incredible effect that becomes viral. And, you know, those are just simple ways to promote your program by just having successful boot camps. Now, in the beginning, what do you give the campers? This is completely up to you. But what you see in front of you is the exact package of what I give to every one of my corporate boot campers. What you see there is a little bag that has a water bottle. It has a 12-week workout manual for them to log all of the progress. It's an accountability workout manual, and some people choose to use it. Some people couldn't care less about it. It's completely individual, so you know, if they want to use it, it's there for them. If they don't, certainly you don't have to push it on them. But you know, research tells us that if they write it down on a daily basis, their progress, they're much more likely to be successful with it. It's kind of like a diary. And so I certainly always suggest that they use it, but you'll find some have no interest in it at all. Now, right behind that 12-week workout manual is a that red and white box is a pedometer. It's a solar-powered pedometer, no batteries, you know, to work pretty much anywhere where it has a little bit of juice from the sunlight. And, you know, for whatever reason, they really love that little thing. In the workout manual, we also have a 10,000-step-a-day challenge for them to log their steps. So even when they're not participating in the boot camps, we ask them to wear that pedometer and log their steps. And you can even create a little contest out of that as well and give little things, little prizes to them, which we'll talk about in the cross-promotion part of the presentation in just a little while. But you can create little contests where you can give them prizes for the person that does the most steps in a week, you know, little things like that. You'll also see in the upper right-hand corner there a blue T-shirt, and we give each of our boot campers a boot camp T-shirt as well. So, you know, simple, easy, and relatively inexpensive in the big picture. So it's great advertising for us. It keeps our logo, our website, which is emblazoned on virtually everything that I give to them. It keeps it in front of them on a constant basis, and keeps my company branded in their brain because it's something that we have visible for them on a regular basis. All right, let's talk a little bit about the hiring trainers to run your camps. Now, this is where I get into an interesting debate with a lot of other industry leaders, because a lot of these other industry gurus tell you to hire personality first. And I couldn't disagree with that anymore. I will tell you straight out that I hire education first and foremost. It is absolutely critical. It's important to me to know that the trainers that I hire have the base knowledge to run safe and effective programs for our clients. Now, after education, I look for their passion and how they relate to people. I look for the personalities, but you got to remember that the trainers you hire, they're going to represent you and your company to your clients, to your community, and to the whole world. This is your number one asset in your business, your clients. So I can't stress enough the importance of making sure that the people you entrust those clients with have a very good understanding about the body mechanics, how it works. And believe me, there are plenty of candidates out there that have that good education and base knowledge that have wonderful personalities. And there's a big pool of them out there, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, about who those individuals are and where you find them. You can hire these trainers once you've decided who you're going to hire, either as independent contractors or as employees. Now, if you hire them as independent contractors, you got to remember that they're free to work for other companies or themselves in addition to working for you. Now, the main benefit of hiring independent contractors is the low overhead. All you have to do is pay them for their time or the sessions that they work for you, and then there's no other benefits. If you do that, you want to make sure that you ask them for the proof of education, certification, insurance, all of that good stuff. Then I want you to make sure you verify it and make sure you keep copies of all of this for your records. And then on an annual basis, you've got to make sure that you keep up with their insurance because, you know, that's usually renewable on an annual basis. So those are little things that you can't let slip through the cracks because we're talking about your business. And you've got to stay on top of all of that good stuff. All right, now, backtracking a little bit about where you find these qualified prospective trainers. Now, where I have had the most success is from local colleges and universities. I have an internship program that I've used with much success over the years. In fact, the large majority of the trainers that I have hired for my company have come through my internships. The beauty of it here is that you have a fresh supply of new trainers about to graduate on a regular basis that you can select from. You get to expose them to a variety of elements in your business to see where they excel and then how they can benefit your company in the long run. And sometimes when you hire or bring in one of these interns, you may find that they have a little more experience in a different part of the business than maybe the actual workout components. And you may bring them into your company for that. I can speak from personal experience about that with several of my interns that have shown a higher degree of or a higher level of skills in different areas that I brought them into my business, not as a full-time trainer, but in other capacities. So it gives you that time frame, usually about 3 months, to see where they excel and if they're a good fit for your business. You want to make sure that they're a good match for your business ethics and your business mission and your overall business plan. Now, the beauty of it also is that you're not required to pay these interns throughout that internship. And then at the end of it, if it works out great, you can hire them. If they're not a fit for your business, then the internship is over. You each go on your merry way. Now, this has never happened to me, but I've heard of situations where it's happened, where in the middle of an internship, an employer can just tell this isn't working, and they sever the relationship right in the middle of the internship. Fortunately, I've never had that happen, but it certainly is something you want to think about. Now, another consideration when you're hiring is the non-compete and confidentiality agreement. This is something that I suggest that each and every one of you do. There are regulations regarding these elements that vary from state to state, so make sure that you check with an attorney familiar with employment law in your individual state before you implement these agreements. Okay, don't just kind of halfway do this. Make sure that they are specific to your state, and then you'll be fine. But don't think that this is something unimportant because it's very important to your long-term success. All right, how do you pay your trainers? What you're seeing here is a snippet of an article I wrote in 1995. Now, since I began my business in 1986, I had a formula developed that I still use today. And this formula has worked for me very well. The actual dollar amount changes, but the percentages haven't. Now, I'm not saying that this is the only way to do it, but I wanted to put it out there for you, and it gives you an idea of what I have done and what I have used through my research. And I researched all different industries, service industry, product industry, the automobile industry, I mean, you name it. I researched all of these before I wrote this article, and actually many years before I wrote this article, because this was a process that I developed when I was going through laying out my business plan, because it's important that you don't just kind of free will and throw numbers out at these trainers. And believe me, I know trainers that do that and have paid up to 75% of what a trainer generates for their business. And to be honest with you, you know, I like these trainers, but straight up front with them, I tell them when I look at those numbers, they are committing fiscal suicide. You've got to have a budget. You've got to have a budget and be responsible and accountable to that budget. So the entire article is in, or it will be part of your action tracking plan, but separate from it, because it wouldn't fit as a PDF into the action tracking plan, but it will be available to you as part of the overall process. And it'll give you an idea of not only how I do my payroll, but all of the other numbers and all of my budget. Now, again, I'm not saying it's the only way, but it is certainly something that I have used with great success over the many years that I've been in the industry. Trainer protocol. Now, in the action tracking guide, we have included a work order and a protocol sheet for you to use. Now, what this does, it keeps you, it keeps your trainer, and it keeps your corporate clients all on the same page. You want to make sure that you go over this protocol sheet with your trainer line by line and make sure that they initial these key points so that you're sure that you have gone over this with them so that they can't plead ignorance when a situation comes up that you have covered and that you want to make sure that they understand what to do in situations. All right, make sure you keep a file on copy for you and give them a copy of that, all right? And also, that bottom line there where it says confirm your certifications, make sure that they're current, make sure they're updated. Usually they have to do it on a yearly basis, sometimes on an every other year basis. But again, kind of like with the liability insurance, if they're contract laborers, you want to make sure their certifications and their insurance is all current, up to date, and that protects you. All right, client retention. When you meet the business's goals, you got to remember you have also met the employee's goals. And then everyone's a happy camper, right? You want to make sure that you call attention to the progress that those individuals are making. You want to make sure that you tell the company, because if they're making progress as individuals, then we know that the company is making progress. This really keeps them motivated and really makes them want to continue on. I want you to make sure that you ask for feedback so that you know where they're coming from. You want to know what they like about the program, perhaps what they don't like about the program, and you want to make sure that you're not just doing that, you know, just kind of going through the motions. You want to make sure you're responsive to their needs. Listen, hear, and respond. You also want to prepare for the contract renewal. Have your data ready and ask for that renewal. It's not automatic. Now, if they just signed a three-month contract with you and they've seen results, ask them for a year. Ask them to commit to that 1 year. Don't be afraid for that. You know, again, you have shown them results in those first 12 weeks, and again, if you follow the system that we have provided for you, then I can guarantee you they're going to see results. So don't be afraid to ask for that 1 year commitment. All right, I mentioned this a little bit earlier. We're going to talk about the cross promotions and the benefit of cross promotion. Now, the biggest thing a cross promotion can do for you is to give you free products and discounts that you can pass on to your corporate boot campers. Now, this isn't the primary benefit, but you want to remember your primary goal is to help the local businesses by promoting them. And do it, you know, with no expectation on the part of the corporate boot campers. You don't want them to feel like you're pressuring them by any stretch of the imagination. Let me give you a couple of examples. Like, if there's a local restaurant that offers a vegetarian salad bar or a buffet, that's a good opportunity for you to cross-promote. If you frequent their location and you like their service, you could easily give them a testimonial and referral. Now, you could agree to mention them in maybe once every 12 weeks in your emails. This will give you an opportunity in those emails to talk about this restaurant and tell your boot campers that this is a great place to go to where they can make sure they get their daily recommended servings of fruits and vegetables, you know, little things like that. Building the relationship with that restaurant, with your boot camp, and trying to make a win-win for everybody in that situation. And you know what? Sometimes, like on restaurants, Wednesdays are real slow days for them. So maybe in one of your emails, you can kind of direct or guide your boot campers to visit that restaurant on a Wednesday. So again, you're helping build the restaurant for that particular place on a slow day for them. And again, that helps you further develop that relationship with the restaurant, and it gives your boot campers a great place to get some lunch. Some other examples of local businesses that are non-competitive to cross-promote with might include like a massage therapist, an athletic apparel company, sporting goods stores, organic food grocers, health food restaurants, maybe even like a registered dietitian or a chiropractor. You could go to even like water parks, zoos, bicycle stores, any of that stuff you can cross-promote with. And, the best thing that you can do to develop really valuable cross-promotion contacts is to be a referral giver at every chance you get. So refer your boot campers to all these different places. Make sure that when they go in there, that they let the proprietor know that they come in because of you. And, you know, it works in a circular manner. It just benefits you, it benefits the business, it benefits your boot campers. And it's a win-win proposition. Now, if you, I had mentioned this a little bit earlier, and when you're running some of those contests, if you're working with a massage therapist, maybe for the winner of that pedometer weekly contest, whoever has the most steps in a week, you might offer them a free 15-minute chair massage. We do that quite a bit in our corporate boot camp, and they absolutely love that. So that would be a great opportunity for you to get that massage therapist, if you don't have one on staff, develop a relationship with one that has their own business, and again, build a relationship with them, because you're putting them in front of a lot of potential clients as well. So certainly that is a win-win proposition. All right, let's recap the systems that we have given to you over these past five sessions, starting with your sales presentation. Remember, we want you to keep bound copies on hand. And know your meeting dialogue. Go over that. Understand it like the back of your hand. Be able to give them a synopsis version of that where you're not reading it to them. But that is a very valuable system in this overall process, because it is that first impression that you're making with that decision maker. That is a very professional presentation, and it sets you apart from your competitors. All right, the second system is the clinical reference laboratory contact. We want to make sure that you review all that they can do for you and your corporate clients. Moving on, your nutrition program. I would suggest that you print it out to show the comprehensive value that you're providing for these corporate boot campers. I mean, this is a very, very comprehensive system. And again, it just shows your professionalism. Fourthly, your exercise program or system, you know, it is second to none. This is the program that DJ created is absolutely state-of-the-art, and it allows you to make this whole process fun for them. It's a 12-week program that they will see results if you follow the program and add the nutrition into it, and they absolutely cannot fail. Your lead generation resources, I want you to understand that leads are available absolutely everywhere. If you look to your left, look to your right, they are right there. I want you to go out and get them. We have provided you with some terrific lead generation resources. Now it's up to you to take advantage of those and to make it happen. Your sales communications. You want to make sure you have your processes in place and use it. Once again, all of that is for you in your action tracking guide. It's spelled out for you. All you have to do is follow those procedures, and once again, you can't lose. And then finally, remember, you've got friends. DJ and I are here to help. These systems that we put together for you, I guarantee you that if you use these the way they were presented, that you will be successful. We are here to help, and we want to make sure you understand that we're here for you every step of the way. All right, now this is an added bonus. All right, this is something we did not advertise, but the apartment complex boot camp system is a complete step-by-step done-for-you blueprint about how to get apartment complexes as clients. Now, this is part of our non-traditional boot camp system, and we have many of these developed, and we've got a lot more to introduce in the near future, but we wanted to give this one to you. And like I said, it is an A to Z boot camp blueprint that is fail-safe. All you have to do is implement everything step by step. And once again, it will be part of the resources available to you that you'll be able to download. And I would suggest that you print out, put it in a binder, and go through it from page one to page 75 or however many pages it is, and it has everything that you could possibly hope for, including a lunch and learn speech and all the handouts you need. Like I said, it is an absolutely complete step-by-step done-for-you plan, and again, we've got a whole lot more to come. The future starts right now. We have given you all the tools and systems that you need to prosper with corporate bootcamp. I'm going to tell you, your biggest limitation a lot of times is yourself. It's you telling yourself that you can't do this or not being willing to take that next step. And I have consulted with way too many trainers, and I'm speaking from experience when I tell you that a lot of times the number one enemy in taking the next step of overcoming obstacles is the person looking back at them or you in the mirror. So don't be afraid to overcome those obstacles. I want you to get your thinking on right. Now, your perspective is the key to your success. So don't be afraid to overcome those obstacles and work your way through them. Now, the confidence and respect the business owner has for you is in direct proportion to how well you're prepared, how well you run your program, how well you follow the guidelines that both of you agree upon, and how well or what results you produce. Now, the ease with which those corporate contracts are renewed is in direct proportion to this, to those same factors. It really is a big deal for these business owners to invest in your corporate boot camps for their employees. And remember, it's an honor for you to be considered as their trainer. When you respect that honor and do a good job for them, they're not going to hesitate to refer and recommend you to their network of business owners and acquaintances. With those referrals, your program and processes are going to carry you far and wide into this incredible world of corporate wellness. I got to tell you, we have really enjoyed working with you these past six sessions, and we really want to help you grow and prosper your boot camp business. We really want to help you every step of the way, and we hope that you will start from the beginning and take this step by step. Don't be afraid of taking that first step, because I promise you that if you go through these systems and you implement them as they have been introduced to you and taught to you over these last six sessions, that they will work. I can speak from experience. I know BJ can speak from experience. We have done this. We have made this happen. We have taken all of the negative and all of the things that haven't worked throughout the many years. And again, as I had mentioned earlier, we have accentuated the positive, we have eliminated the negative, and we want to make sure that you don't have to overcome some of those obstacles that we did early in the process, and you should be ready to rock the world of corporate wellness as you go forward. All right, this Thursday, 3:30 Eastern Standard Time, we will do the last question and answer session. So we will look forward to talking to you. Make sure you write your questions down. Anything from week one to week six that you have. We've had a lot of good individual questions that you all have sent to us individually. The form hasn't been used as much as in previous sessions. You all have done the individual emails, and that's fine too. We certainly don't mind that. But remember that the form is there for you all's use, and it will stay live. We will continue to use that and allow you to share your successes with each other and continue to ask questions. And with that being said, I will say good day and look forward to talking to you on Thursday. This is Greg Justice with BJ Gadore. Welcome to session 4, Corporate Boot Camp System. lead generation, qualification, and conversion. Okay, your ideal clients. Now, before beginning your search for your prospects, I want you to take some time to determine who your ideal client is. Now, we touched on this in an earlier session, but for those of you who've never worked with businesses, this is a very important point for you. I want you to start to explore a niche that you may feel more comfortable working with. And then once you find that particular niche, then you just hammer it out, okay? Now, I want you to remember that your action tracking guide has thinking points to help you explore and actually help you find the right niche just for you. So make sure you take advantage of the action tracking guide. In fact, it will become very critical throughout the entire process of today's session for you to make sure you have that action tracking guide as a resource. Corporate markets. Now, there are specific physical elements each type of industry has to deal with. Postural problems, muscle imbalances, etc. Now, some of these issues correlate to illness, sedentary desk work, and some are reasons for high rate of injury, weak back muscles. These are excellent discussion points with your prospect when you show the direct relationship to higher business costs. All right, lead generation. Right on top there, you see Reference USA. Now, this is a wonderful resource, and it's available through most public and university libraries. What you can do with this, you can actually sort businesses within a specific geographic area and in specific industries or business types, again, that you're trying to work with. You can choose the businesses by number of employees, annual sales volume, things of that nature. Now, what you can do with this, you can actually download this information, and you can download up to 50 business names per download. If you actually come up with 100 names, then you just simply do 2 downloads. We like to set the initial criteria with about 100 employees or more, because what you're going to find with your first ventures into the physical fitness component of a wellness program, you're going to get about a 20 to 25% response rate. You know, that's just kind of the initial numbers that we have seen. And usually we like to have 15, 20, or 25 participants in a session. So that's why we kind of target those companies with about 100 employees or more. Now, there's also companion products for Canada and international businesses, too, that are Reference USA based. All right, now, from this list, you can actually select the criteria that you wish to save and print. The names of the CEOs and HR directors for each company are listed in this information that you download. You're going to get the business phone numbers, their additional locations, parent companies, and at the bottom of each business is another listing of businesses in that neighborhood. So, you know, you can actually save time by calling on the businesses in this small geographic area. And, you know, if you can win over an entire industrial park, then you've got a full-time training position right there. Now, after we have our list of businesses, the first thing we need to do is find out whether or not they're offering a corporate wellness program. And if they are, whether or not that program includes exercise and nutrition. Because remember, we discussed earlier that a lot of corporate wellness programs are simply nothing more than a monthly handout or lunch and learn. So you want to find out if they do have a wellness program, whether or not it does include the exercise and nutrition component, which is what we are there to provide. Now, the fastest and easiest way to get this information is to actually ask the receptionist at the front desk. You know, the answers to these simple questions can help you actually formulate your conversation with the HR director and or CEO. You've got to know something about the company that you're going to call on, and usually you can get some pretty good information from the receptionist. Now, there's some more information about the conversation that you actually have with the receptionist. Receptionist actually covered in your action tracking guide. So as I mentioned earlier, make sure you have that accessible and use the action tracking guide in great detail this week. There'll be a lot of great information. Converting leads to prospects. Okay, you've done some pre-qualifying during the process of gathering your leads. So you already know that they're possible prospects because, number one, they could use your service. And, you know, they're qualified to use your services and would actually benefit from your service. So at this point, you really don't know if they're, quite frankly, if they're even thinking about implementing a corporate wellness program or if they've tried and are burned out from having tried in the past but not done it correctly. Or maybe they're distracted or have health issues of their own that are causing them not even be in the realm of thinking about a corporate wellness program. Or they may have actually seen something in the newspaper that morning that plants a little seed, and maybe they're actually right to hear something positive or new about corporate wellness. So if you don't qualify them first, then you're just going to be basically shooting in the dark. Qualify them during your initial conversation. Again, first with the receptionist, and then with the HR director and or CEO. Engage your leads. Now, there are many ways to engage your leads. You will do this through conversation, a phone call, a letter, or even audio clips on your website, or it could be a direct mail, or you could connect with them through an elevator speech, which we'll cover a little more in detail in just a few minutes. But again, there are just a lot of different methods in which you can engage your leads. Now, your first objective is to qualify them as prospects who, number one, have the authority, the need, the budget, and a plan to purchase and implement your program. Now, however you choose to engage them, create interest by creating an emotional connection. You want to paint a picture of the end result of a fit workplace to get them engaged. Now, if you don't get them engaged, there may be a lot of different reasons. You want to start to kind of figure out what is working and what isn't working throughout this process, and start to take notes on things that you see when people actually engage in the process when you're talking to these leads. And again, after each conversation, take notes, good and bad. Be aware of the process. And, once you start to fine-tune your elevator speech and your questioning, it actually will help you as you go further down the line with your actual presentation. Now, your objective is to interest them enough to schedule a meeting so that you can present your program. And this is still the qualification phase. Engagement. Now, once you have them engaged, what do? You want to ask them for an appointment so that you can discuss their own needs further. You got to remember, it's about them, their needs, and their goals. Now, when you have someone engaged, it's a prime opportunity for you to go to the next level. You got to remember that sales and marketing is a step-by-step process. And without taking a lot of extra classes in those areas, we're giving you the tools that you need to have a good foundation from which you can build. Once again, remember that action is a key. Now, some tools to help you engage include something like a free report that has valuable information the prospect can benefit from, or your elevator speech, a brochure, a coupon for free fitness plans. Now, there are many ways that you can engage people. A free newsletter, fitness tips and hints that you can supply to them for their employees, maybe for their company email or newsletter. What you want to do is you want to make them hungry for all that you can offer them. Remember, you create these tools just once, and then you just reuse them over and over. it looks to the prospect, you know, like you're completely over-delivering, but, you know, this doesn't take any extra time because you've already created it. Once you create it once, you just continue to use it over and over again. And a lot of that information is already done in the action tracking guide for you, so you actually don't even have to create it. It's already created for you. All right, why qualify your leads? First of all, assess the need. Ask these questions. Now, are you currently offering your employees a corporate wellness program? If you are offering a corporate wellness program, just as we discussed a couple of minutes ago, you want to ask them, is there a fitness and nutrition program built into the corporate wellness program? Ask them what the pros and cons are of the program they currently offer. Ask them if they've evaluated other corporate wellness programs. Now, if they already have a program in place, you know, that they're happy with, they, you know, they may not hear the value in what you're offering. All right, assess their authority to purchase. It's ideal only to present to people with the authority to purchase. You can talk to other people in the organization, just don't go through that full-blown presentation. Here are some of the questions that you want to ask. What do you do at your company? Are you in charge of corporate wellness program evaluation? Are you the decision maker for purchasing of corporate wellness programs? And if not, who is? So, you know, if the person that you're talking to has no authority to make the decisions, you may be just wasting your time. It's ideal to find someone that can get you to the decision maker. And quite frankly, they may not have the authority to purchase, but they may be able to get you to the decision maker. Another important thing is to get their take on wellness, because if they're not sold on it, they won't help endorse or implement it. And then an area, you know, some other areas that aren't listed on the PowerPoint there, some other areas to question are like time. How soon do you plan on introducing your corporate wellness program? You want to know the size of your company. Now, this you're already going to know if it's a, or if this is something that you've got from Reference USA, because you'll get all that information when you download this from the library through Reference USA. You want to know about their budget. You want to know if they've allocated a budget, and if so, for what particular services. You want to ask them about return on investment. Have they evaluated their return on investment of the current corporate wellness program? Ask them something like, how much is it costing you not to have a corporate wellness program? And how long can you continue to bear these kind of costs? Ask them something like this. Do you know how many of your employees are at risk of dying early from a preventable illness? And we've included this information for you with the resources, again, in your action tracking guide. Business communications. All right, these on the screen here are some of the tools that we have supplied to you to help you communicate your program and to get you in front of those prospects. It's important to have a full range of methods available. And use all of them for your benefit. The more a prospect sees and hears of you, the more it starts to sink in. You got to remember, some CEOs rarely take phone calls. Yet often they may look through their own personal emails or spam mail. And other CEOs prefer phone calls and don't even bother looking at their mail. So ask their individual preference and then act accordingly. How to qualify your leads. You want to be asking open-ended questions to get them talking. And then once you do that, let them talk. If you just ask questions that have a yes or no answer, there isn't going to be any dialogue. There won't be a conversation. Again, your action tracking guide has a list of thoughtfully worded questions that will help you qualify your prospects. All right, we know that your prospects are buying. The question is, are they buying from you? When you qualify your leads, or know that they're real prospects, you can actually begin to ask them questions about their current offerings. You can ask them about their experience with corporate wellness and even their thoughts on it. By knowing where they stand, you can have a more productive presentation and, quite frankly, a higher rate of success with agreement to implement your program while having the CEO embrace and support it. And that is absolutely critical to any corporate wellness program, that the CEO embrace and support it. Now, you'll find the questions that generate real conversation once again, and I keep referring back to this, but these questions that generate that real conversation are in your action tracking guide. Resources. Now, this one that you see on the PowerPoint right now is an awesome resource that your prospects can actually use to find out how much they can save by implementing a corporate wellness program. All they have to do is input their specific company information into this calculation, and they get real answers. And it's totally confidential. If they're not comfortable with you taking them through the process, then you can just give them access to this, and it's a completely free service, and they can do it on their own. So again, you can offer to walk them through the process as well. But this is from wellsteps.com, and once again, it is a completely free resource and quite beneficial in the big picture as well. All right, what's the key? We've talked about this 100 times, not just in the context of corporate wellness, but in business in general. The key is the call to action. The whole premise of corporate wellness is that without action, nothing changes. Now, the body needs the action of regular exercise combined with proper nutrition to function as it was meant to for wellness to be achieved. We've talked about that 100 times already in this class. This is your whole bottom line. Change must come in the form of regular exercise and proper nutrition, or there will be little change. Now, the other action that is key to the trainer is to actually ask for the order. Let me repeat that. Ask for the order. You've got to ask many times during the course of your presentation, again, when you feel it's appropriate. Because you got to remember, if you don't ask for the order, the CEO isn't just going to give it to you. Let me give you an example of how this might sound. But the sooner you change their behavior, make them accountable for their own health and wellness, the sooner you will see the effective change your bottom line needs. Now, we can start a program for you in as little as 2 weeks. Most businesses start with a 12-week program. Do you agree that the 12-week program will give you a good place to start from? You know, again, those are just a two-sentence, three-sentence little call to action, but you've got to ask, you've got to have a call for action so that they will actually take action too. Business communications. Now, there are entire courses devoted to the subject of business communications. It truly is a science and an art. Now, if you're unfamiliar with business communication, you can find classes, books, and articles that will help you become more proficient. But in the meantime, we have compiled some basic processes for you to utilize until you find your own way throughout this entire process. Now, let's start with the three-step sales process. What we like to do going through this three-step process is to start in a cold call situation with a formal letter. After that formal letter, we follow up with a handwritten note. And don't underestimate the power of a handwritten note. I know in these days of electronic communications with email and all that stuff, that too many people get bogged down in that. But don't underestimate the power of a personalized handwritten note card after that formal letter. And then after the handwritten card, you follow that up with a personal phone call. So again, three-step sales process starts with a formal letter, followed up by a handwritten note, and then followed up with a personal phone call. All right, now you can choose your approach of either a hard line or a soft line. Now, we quite frankly like the hard line approach because the message that we have directly contradicts the American media messages and the insurance and medical companies' desire to manage disease. We talked about that in great detail over the last few weeks. Now, what we're trying to promote here is that until the message about exercise becomes commonplace and accepted, we're going to continue to push to the forefront. You got to remember the old saying about the squeaky wheel getting the grease. Sometimes you've just got to be that squeaky wheel, and I personally don't have a problem being a little squeaky. All right, now, it's important to know who you're talking to. It's critical to always be respectful of everyone, from the gatekeeper all the way up to the CEO. Now, you got to remember, you know, when you're talking to a CEO who's overweight, huffing and puffing and red cheek, then, you know, you're trying to implement a corporate wellness program. If you've got someone like that, you're probably not going to be real successful because, as we had talked about before in the class, to make this successful at any corporation, you really have to have that CEO or senior level management support. It really is critical to the entire process. In fact, you'll notice on that five keys to implementing a successful corporate wellness program, that's number one. So I know I've said that before, but I want to hammer that in. That is such a critical component, making sure you have that support at the highest level. All right, elevator speeches. What are elevator speeches? And quite frankly, these elevator speeches are critical in any business. And what they are, they're quite simply one sentence, two sentence, maybe up to 3 minute maximum little blurbs about your company and its products and services. Your focus of an elevator speech is to impart as much personalized benefit to the individual that you're speaking to in a real short period of time. You really need to hold their interest because the bottom line here is that you need to elicit some type of action from them. Right, the ideal through this process of the elevator speech, if you could get an appointment with them so that you can then further talk to them about your particular program, your corporate wellness program. Now, whether or not they are the decision maker, you want to get some type of action from them. You know, maybe it's a connection to have them introduce you to a decision maker or somewhere higher up in the pecking order, but get some type of action from them. That is what your elevator speech is for. Now, you got to remember that when your elevator speech hits home, that individual is going to start to think about it. They're going to start to mention you to other people, and then I promise you good things are going to happen. It's important for you at this stage to have that elevator speech created. So I want you to make a speech, and then you want to start to use it. Keep it short. Remember that. Keep it short. Memorize it, and then whenever and wherever you are, when someone asks you what you do, you're not going to need a brochure. You'll be able to clearly and precisely give them exactly what you do, and it's going to blow them away. We're going to talk a little bit more in detail about elevator speeches in just a little while. Now, lastly, that you see on the PowerPoint, the web content, it's also a form of business communication. What I want you to do there is to put your key elements from the presentation that you have hopefully already created on your website. Let your prospects see what your program addresses, what the real need is. You'll have statistics that you can document. They're totally available right there on the website. Now, we've talked about this previously. The concept of corporate wellness has been diluted and disguised by disease management for way too long. And we've preached this over and over. Regular exercise and proper nutrition are really foreign concepts to a lot of people. So it takes some time to assimilate this new information and then to believe it as true. All of these business communications that you see on this screen right here, they're all in your action tracking guide. I want you to personalize them to your own fitness business, and then use them, or you can create your own if you choose. All right, we just covered a little bit about the elevator speech. And right here, these are just a few ideas for you. I've got a couple of slides of elevator speeches. And again, your action tracking guide contains information that explains exactly how to write an elevator speech, and then how to use an elevator speech. So these examples that you see here, here's a couple of them on the screen in front of you. And then here are a few more. You see that they're very simple. Some of them are just one simple line or one simple sentence. Converting qualified prospects to clients. Now that we've qualified prospects, this is how we're going to turn them into clients. You basically have two choices. One, you can sell them, or two, you can educate them. This is a process that we like to use, and it's called education-based marketing. You actually educate them through the process. You build a relationship with them. You create a bond of trust, and then you begin working with them. You can share with them how fitness applies to their specific business. When you can effectively help your prospects understand how what you do can help them get what they want, you're going to sign up a ton of corporate boot camps. It's also important to stay in touch with your prospects every step of the way. Never leave a question unanswered or a need unmet. It's very important once you've started this process to follow up with them in a timely manner. This is important. I'm gonna say this twice because I don't think a lot of people understand the nature of sales. 80% of sales are made on the 5th to the 12th contact. Think about that. 80% of the sales are made on the 5th to the 12th contact. That means you're gonna have to get used to some rejection. But understand, each step of the way gets you that much closer to closing that deal, all right? You've got to be persistent and dedicated to helping your business grow by following up with your ideal clients. And you got to remember also that persistence is going to pay off as long as you qualify your prospects, all right? You've got to qualify. Now, if they're not qualified, then your persistence is going to be perceived probably as a nuisance. So make sure you've got them qualified before you're doing that process of the follow-up, all right? All right, let's talk about some common objections and how to handle them, and then I'll even give you a couple of actual examples that we have experienced firsthand. Now, objections most often mean simply, you know, that the party raising the objection doesn't have enough information to make a buying decision. You got to remember that objections are part of the process, and they offer opportunity for you to ask questions and further explore each objection, and then you start to uncover the underlying concerns and what the prospect actually expects from you. Let me give you just a quick example of an objection that we had early on in this process. And again, each one of these is a learning opportunity. When we went into one of our corporate meetings with an HR director, and we actually had a group of about 25 participants that wanted to hear about the program, so I was presenting not only to the HR director, but to a group of computer software analysts. And as I went through the process of what we did and how we did it, I had two or three hands that went up, and the first one said, well, my problem with signing up for this program is that I am going to be accountable for my attendance, and if I travel, and I do, I'm going to be gone 6 weeks of this 12-week program. How am I going to get any benefit out of just working out six of the 12? 12 weeks. And we had already built in and answered that objection, not even really thinking about it. That's where that online component comes in, and actually we were able to squash that objection because we had the online component up and ready to go. They were able to access our YouTube channel, follow along with the workouts that the other participants were doing, because quite frankly, a lot of the workouts are body weight based and don't need a lot of fancy equipment. So they were actually able to follow along and do the same program that everyone else at the corporate site was doing in their hotel room when they traveled for those 6 weeks. Again, the nutrition component, the online workout components were all accessible right from their computer. So we, again, took that objection right out of the way. Now, another example, I'll just give you another quick one, was a group of workers didn't speak English language. They were Spanish speaking. Now, at this time, when we were talking to the HR director, the objection came up that, well, a lot of our people don't speak English. How will they be able to read the information that you send them and understand what you are saying when you're talking to them? And we were able to get some great resources online that actually translate, and these were some free services that actually translated our words into Spanish. And so we were able to overcome the objections. And again, these are some things that you probably wouldn't even think of going through this process, but you're going to find many more objections that you're going to have to find a way to overcome. Now, you're going to also find that many of them feel like their employees won't get involved of it, or won't get involved in the program. And they're basing this on previous experiences that they have with corporate wellness programs or other types of internal projects that they've run in their corporation. Now, one of the problems with a lot of corporate wellness programs is that they don't go through a step-by-step process of implementing these types of programs. And they start, you know, they put the cart before the horse. And so we want to make sure that they understand that this is a step-by-step process. And we help them implement this step-by-step process so that they don't get that cart before the horse, and that these are implemented properly and timely. And that way you're going to see a much higher adherence rate and consequently a much higher success rate, because you've got to actually have them in the program for them to succeed. So again, we have all that information for you in your action tracking guide as well. There's an incredible tool in there that will help guide you through a ton of different objections. So make sure, again, that you access that common objections tool in your action tracking guide, and it will give you a ton of resources that will be beneficial throughout that process. All right, let's talk about some ways in through the back door. All right, so sometimes you're not able to go through the normal process of calling up a company and going in to their HR director and laying out your presentation and having them sign up for your program 2 weeks later and everything just going perfectly. So, you know, let's talk about some ways to make this happen that aren't perhaps the traditional step-by-step way. Now, Lunch and Learns offer companies a chance to see you in action and to get feedback from their employees. Always present the attendees with like a survey before you speak, and then encourage them to fill it out at the end of your speech. You want to collect that data for information to help you sell your program to the company, you know, when you get to that HR director or senior level manager. Now, If they're not sure about setting up a corporate wellness program, or they already have one without what we do, which is the exercise and nutrition component on site, then you can fit into their schedule of events with like a lunch and learn just to help you get your foot in the door. Now, I said before, I don't think lunch and learns are the ideal situation for a corporate wellness program only. In other words, that shouldn't be a corporate wellness program just doing lunch and learns. But it is a good way just to kind of get your foot in the door. And there are a ton of different lunch and learns that you can do that we have provided you once again in your action tracking guide. If you've got one that you prefer doing on your own, certainly do it if you've already got one prepared. But if not, we actually have lunch and learns already completely created for you in your action tracking guide. There's another way to do it too here now. You can offer a boot camp with a purpose to benefit the charity of the company's choice. What this will do is actually provide an opportunity to get you some free press coverage, not only for you, but for the company. And it's, you know, it's a chance to get their employees up and moving and also to benefit a worthy cause. Now, this can be like a one-time event. And if that's the case, then what you're going to probably get are a lot of the athletes or athletic-type employees in the corporation. But if it's like a 12-week transformation contest, then you can probably get more of the employees to participate, and they're going to see a lot of measurable progress. The receptionist, secretary, HR director, they, you know, they may be open to exercising or know someone who wants to begin exercising. So by giving coupons for free workouts at your studio or your boot camp will further get you in front of different people within their organization. So even if you don't sign them up to your corporate boot camps, don't hesitate to give them a lot of free workout cards so that you can get them into your boot camps, your community boot camp, and then they can actually see what you do firsthand. Like I said, whether it be that receptionist or the HR director or a senior level manager, give them enough of those free workout cards so that they'll spread them around. And, you know, one by one, it just takes one person to get in that likes what you do to tell the next person and the next person. And then that viral effect takes place, and suddenly you are in front of that decision maker because they like what you do. Now, granted, you have to be good at what you do, and you've got to provide those boot campers with results that you promise, because, hey, talk is cheap, and if you don't provide results, then you will not be successful. So, you know, we can talk the talk, but unless you walk the walk, it really doesn't matter. So make sure that your program actually can provide the results that you say it can, and get those people into your community camps. And I promise you that it just takes one right person to really get the ball rolling and get you in front of that decision maker. Resources and opportunity. Now, there are tons of resources available to you on the internet. We talked just a little while ago about WellSteps. Here's a few more. Healthy People 2010 is a government program. I would suggest that you check it out so that you know what your prospects actually have available to them. And then there's the Towers Karen Study. This company has some incredible statistics that you'll be able to quote. What they do, they actually survey HR directors from all around the country, and there's just some great resource material from Towers Perrin, you can use all that information to your benefit when you're talking to those HR directors. Now, be careful that you verify your sources as reliable, and always determine whether the results that you're reading include a corporate wellness program with an exercise program, because sometimes research with off-site fitness programs, like where they just give gym membership cards, those actually don't have the high rate or high return on investment as the on-site program. And one reason for that is because those corporate wellness programs that offer the off-site gym cards, the people that take advantage within the company, they're the ones that would go to that gym anyways for the most part. So that's the difference between the higher adherence rate of an on-site workout program versus an off-site workout program. And again, that's one of the big differences of what we do compared to a lot of corporate wellness programs. We actually are going to bring the workout to them at their location and, of course, the nutrition program. Now, with healthcare reform in the nightly news and major decisions about the future of healthcare in America, it's really imperative that we all step forward. We got to let our voices be heard, even at the governmental level. So what we have done for you here, we've included every state, the names and addresses of your individual governing officials, so that you can actually contact them. We've even put in a sample letter that you can use, or you can adapt it and make your own. But we want you to get a hold of those local governing officials and let your voice be heard. You know, get out there. Put yourself out there. Don't be afraid to ruffle some feathers and let them know what your message is. Another thing I'd suggest is to take the opportunity every few months to like explore the headlines, and even write a press release on how your business has addressed the issues with success, or to announce some type of new class that will address these issues with proven results. And again, we all have the proven results, because we know that without regular exercise and proper nutrition, that the body does break down into a state of disease. We can actually quantify that. And so make sure that you educate whenever you get a chance to. Write these press releases. Constantly be in the media like that. All right, let's do just a quick review. We started by identifying our ideal client. Now, and you do that not only individually in your community boot camp, but you really want to do this and separate yourself by kind of honing out on a particular corporate market. And so that's important. You can do that through that process that we talked about in Reference USA. So, we've identified who that ideal client is, and now we're ready to start hammering it out. Right? We're going to gather the list through Reference USA. The other process, and I think that was on the slide as well, is your local chamber of commerce. But Reference USA, free resource through that library. Just make sure you get that in your local little area, and then just start to hammer out those leads. We talked about how to engage our leads and how to qualify them. We're personalizing our business. And all the communications that come from our business to the corporations. You want to make sure you do that step by step and make sure everything is personalized. We talked a little bit about how to overcome those objections. And then we talked a little bit about some backdoor approaches of getting in those corporations. Again, each of those steps that are on there that you see on the screen right now, everything is specifically detailed in that action tracking guide. So go through the process step by step and personalize what is in that action tracking guide to your business, and you will have all the resources you need. Now, you may also want to take it to the next level and even go on and start doing your own research and adding more to it. But what I don't want you to do is get that information overload. What we have provided for you is plenty of information, and quite frankly, more information than you really need. So just use that for now. Don't get overwhelmed with the process, and you will get more and more comfortable with each step, and quite frankly, with each time you go in and present to a corporation, you'll kind of find that comfort zone. You'll find yourself repeating some of the same things over and over. You'll find certain things that work and certain things that don't. Kind of find that groove. even sometimes we get real hyper and real excitable when we're talking to someone, an HR director or a senior level manager. So kind of check yourself and make sure that you're breathing. You kind of like to tell our clients when they're working out, make sure you're not holding your breath. Sometimes when people speak and get excited in a presentation, they do that same thing. They start to hold their breath, and then of course, you know, you can't do what you need to do if you're not finding that natural, comfortable breathing process. So, you know, just kind of take a step back. When you go through that process of evaluating how each meeting has gone, find out what works, evaluate it, take it step by step, and then each time you do it, it will get a little bit better. So what action do we want you to take this week? First of all, if you haven't already done it, you must get that presentation completed and found. If you have any problems with it, please don't hesitate. Go through it step by step on that action tracking guide. There should be for you every step of the process that all you have to do is insert your personal information, and it will be completely personalized to you. So please, this week, get that 100% completed and get it down. Make a few copies of it so you can get a little bit of a break on the actual cost. You don't want to just have one down presentation. You know, get four, five, or six. So it'll give you a little bit of break on the by doing it like that rather than individual. Secondly, we want you to check your progress on reaching decision makers and influencers within your individual client base. Right? That really is the best starting point. I can promise you that within that base of clients that you currently have, there are probably both decision makers and influencers, but I guarantee you there are at least influencers that can get you to that next level with some of those decision makers. So take that step by step, and again, in your action tracking guide, there is a spreadsheet that again will help you go through that process. And those are exercises that we didn't just throw in there frivolously. We want you to take that and actually use that, because you will find that sometimes things will just kind of go over your head, but if you write them down, you'll see things that you don't really just think about. So get it down on paper and really find out how to get to those influencers and have them get you to the decision maker. All right? We also want you to choose one of the elevator speeches that you have available to you in the action tracking guide, or create one of your own. That's fine. We don't have a problem with that at all, but we want you to make sure that you get that done this week. Get it written out, and then we want you to actually start practicing your elevator speech. Do it in front of a mirror. Do it out loud. Don't just read it in your head. Right? Actually practice it. Read it out loud over and over and over so it becomes second nature, so that it almost is like you could do it in your sleep. When someone asks you what you do, boom, it just comes right out. All right? We also want you to practice asking some of those thoughtful questions. It will help initiate dialogue with the person to whom you're speaking. And again, those we've got a whole bunch of thoughtfully worded questions as part of the resources in the action tracking guide. So go through those, look at that, and again, just read them over and over so that it becomes second nature for you to ask those types of thoughtful questions and elicit a response from your clients, or actually in front of, or to whomever you're speaking. And then we want you to actually start to get out there and set up some appointments. We want you to actually take it to the next level. When you're talking to those influencers, get them to get you to the decision makers and make something happen. You've got to take action. You've got to make it happen, because if you don't, they're not just going to come to you, all right? So you make it happen, and then good things will happen. Okay. Questions and answers. We're going to have our normal question and answer call this Thursday at 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. You will be notified by email. Mary will get that out to you within the next day or so. At the bottom, just like I said on that previous screen, we want to make sure that you ask questions, that you take action, and that you make it happen. You've got to do it. You've got to do it for yourself. So take action this week, and I promise you that good things will happen. If you have any questions, we've gotten some questions lately on the meeting side. We want to make sure that you continue to do that and engage with each other, certainly engage with us. And if you have any questions between now and Thursday, don't hesitate to ask on the meeting side. We'll make sure that we get those answered as quickly as possible. And then we will certainly look forward to talking with you on Thursday, and we will cover anything that we have covered up to this point in the first 4 weeks, including last week's workout programs and this week's information that we covered. And we'll start to kind of lay the foundation for what's coming in the final 2 weeks. Now, next week we'll do the nutrition, and then the sixth week we're going to bring everything together and get you ready to take it to the next level and make good things happen in your corporate wellness business. So with that being said, we will close it out for today and look forward to talking to you on Thursday in the question and answer call.